Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight, and the crowd today is much larger than it was on Sunday, so praise the Lord. It's good to be here. It's good to have another opportunity to come together and worship the Lord. And we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, thanking thee for thy goodness, thy mercy, thy grace, thy goodness. And I pray, O God, that thou would be with us, that thou would help us, that thou would inspire us this day to reach out to thee, to seek thee with a whole heart, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask for thy blessing on this entire service, O God. We pray that thy perfect will would be done. And we pray, O God, that thou would ordain this service. And I pray that we would be blessed by thy presence. Help us, O God, fill us all with thy Spirit, and fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter his gates. Number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn now to number 15 and sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open." Number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy.
my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, he does put joy in our hearts, doesn't he? Praise God. We're going to turn to our hymnals now, number 122, and we're going to sing My Burdens Rolled Away, number 122 in the hymnal. Remember when my burdens rolled away, I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took him at his word, then at once all my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I feared would never leave night or day. Jesus showed to me the loss, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that had hindered me for years, night and day. As I sought the throne of grace, just a glimpse of Jesus' face, and I knew that my burdens could not stay. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I am singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song within my heart night and day. I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing. Hallelujah, all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm thankful that we serve a Lord who can take our burdens away. He can take our sins away. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to number 149 and sing, He Took My Sins Away. Number 149. And sad, He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and now His love has made my heart so glad. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. The load of sin was more than I could bear, He took them all away, He took them all away. And now on Him I roll my every care, He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. No condemnation have I in my heart, He took my sins away, He took my sins away. His perfect peace He did to me impart, He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. If you will come to Jesus Christ today, He'll take your sins away, He'll take your sins away, and keep you happy in His love each day. He'll take your sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. so glad He took my sins away. 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 And He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be free from those sins, isn't it? Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 8 and sing, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Number 8. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise God. Oh, yes, we need those showers. We need the outpouring of His Spirit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. And we pray, O God, that Thy hand would continue to be upon this ministry. Show us what we must do in the days ahead, for we know that the times are uncertain, but we know that Thou hast all power and all authority in this entire universe. And we thank Thee, O God, for that assurance. I pray, Lord, that Thou would reveal Thy perfect will to us. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, we have a prayer request here. Rob would like prayer. His right hip has been bothering him. It's been very painful for the last week or so. So we are going to pray for Rob right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night for our dear brother Rob, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch him. We pray, O God, that he would feel a touch from Thee now, even right now, for we know, O God, that Thou art our healer. We know, O God, that when Thy healing virtue flows, we experience miracles. And we pray, O God, that Thou would touch Rob. Let him feel Thy presence right now. I pray that he would reach out to Thee in complete faith, believing in Thee for deliverance, for we know that Thou can do all things, and that Thou can do all things well. We know, O God, that Thou art our healer, and that by Thy stripes we are healed. So we lift up Rob before Thee this night, praying, O God, that Thou would touch him now, even now. And we pray, O God, for a complete healing. Let this pain be taken away. Let it not persist any longer. But we pray, O God, that he would be completely restored to full function. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that we can lift our petitions before the Lord. Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more song. We're going to turn to number 43 in our hymnal and sing Count Your Blessings, number 43.
Upon life's billows you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that is such a wonderful song, and that's the kind of song that can really get stuck in your head, and I think that's a good thing. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord had laid on her heart. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our Lord. Amen. It is good to count our blessings. You know, we sing about that burden of sin being taken from us. And oh yes, sometimes I remember how that was back in that day when I was in my sin, and you know, it was a heavy load, you know, and you just didn't know if it was ever going to go, you know, it was always there and messing with you, and you know, you just didn't know what to do. And thank the Lord, he made a way that we could come to him and let him take that load of sin. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Let him put it on the cross. Oh, yes, as you know, he so willingly did that for us. And what a relief to give that over to Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you what, it just helps me to rejoice in the Lord, to think that I don't have to carry that load of sin anymore. You know, that he's forgiven us those transgressions. You know, he's delivered us from that sin, and yes, praise the Lord, we don't have that weight hanging over our head and not knowing what to do with it. You know, you can't imagine, you know, if you've not gotten to that place where you can turn your life over to the Lord, you don't know how wonderful it feels to be rid of that, to have that load off your back, and you know, to know that the Lord has forgiven you, and you know, you're on your way to heaven. And, you know, praise the Lord. It's such a wonderful relief. Praise the Lord, yes. And then to go on and obey the gospel message, to be baptized in His name, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. What a plan. You know, He puts His Spirit within our very being. I mean, there is no greater gift than that. The Almighty One coming to this earth to seek and to save us, and even to put His Spirit within us, you know, so we could be led by the Spirit of God, so we could know right from wrong. Yes, so we could be headed in the right direction. Oh, with our hearts made pure by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we have been given. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it's wonderful to sing these songs. Yes, you know, to thank the Lord for these wonderful things that He has done for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for those little talks we can have with You, Lord. We just thank You again that You made a way that we could come directly to You, Jesus. Oh, yes, so that relief could be taken from us, from our sins, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord Jesus, that we could know the joy, Lord, of living in Thy presence and feeling Thy touch and having Thy reassurances. Oh, Lord, knowing that that blood has been applied to our hearts. God, I pray that You would talk to us here tonight. I pray that You would give us faith here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that You would bring that wandering person in, oh, Lord, to the fold here tonight, Lord God, that You would speak to every heart, Lord. Oh God, those that are in the valley of decision, Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that You'd help them, Lord, to turn from their ways, Lord, to give their lives to You, Lord, to surrender that will, Lord, to fully repent, oh Lord Jesus. Oh God, we know that You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Thee, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You made a way for us, God. And oh God, we can claim Thy promises. We can come boldly before that throne of grace, oh Lord, to obtain mercy. Oh yes, to find that grace in the time of need, Lord, to come directly before Thee, Lord Jesus, Thou Almighty One. Thank You, Lord. I pray that You be here tonight, Lord. You speak to our hearts, that You give us what we have need of, Lord. That You lift up the heavy burdens, oh Lord. That You lift the burdens and, oh God, take them, Lord. Oh God, from Your people, Lord, and everything else that might be pressing, Lord. Oh God, that You give us faith in Thy deliverance and in Thy healing virtue, Lord. That You touch us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, as we claim Thy promises, oh Lord, and as we come to You, Jesus. Oh God, we ask, Lord, that You'd move here. Oh God, that You set us free indeed, Lord. And oh God, that You work in each and every heart. You know our needs as individuals, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd move here tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. We claim Your promises, Lord. And oh, we ask that You would help us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd anoint and give Your words, Lord. Oh, strengthen Your prophet, Your minister here, Lord Jesus. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. We're going to be going to the third chapter of Joel here tonight. And we're going to be talking about that valley of decision, that valley of decision. Praise the Lord. We've all been there, you know, that place where we came to a crossroad in our life where we had to determine, you know, were we going to let go of, you know, our old man and let the Lord take over, you know, give the reins over to God Almighty? Or are we going to just hang on, go in our own sinful way? But I thank God for each and every one of us that has turn that load over to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful gift again that we have been given. Praise the Lord. Joel, the third chapter. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 tells us, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have gotten a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. I'll tell you what, here it is. We have the Lord pleading for his people. And, you know, as we get into this chapter, we realize that, you know, this gathering of all nations actually corresponds with the Battle of Armageddon here. And as Joel was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pen these words, you know, this is how it came to him to call it that Valley of Jehoshaphat. But here he's talking, you know, about a people that had been scattered. And, oh yes, they have been taken from, you know, their various homelands and brought to the places where the heathens were. And you know, it wasn't a good scenario by any means. And so it is, you know, we all are sheep that have gone astray. And, you know, the Lord in his mercy, he saw us in that, you know, that great need that we had, for we were all, you know, walking in our own paths and, you know, going our own ways. But the Lord, in his mercy, made a way that we could come to him. But here it is, he's making a plea here in that second verse for his people. And he's talking about a very nasty time, I would say, there in that third verse, where he's talking about the fact that they had cast lots for the people, and you know, obviously their lusts and their addictions and all of this were so severe that they would actually give a child, a boy, for an harlot, or they would sell a girl for wine. I'll tell you what, that's being very overcome with lust and all the things, you know, that cause people to go the wrong direction, just being driven by demonic forces there and doing such things, being so addicted that, you know, I mean, this is unreal to think that they would, you know, sell a child for wine that they might drink, and a boy for an harlot. But then it goes on to say in verse 4, "Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head." So he's talking about those that dwelt on the coast there of Palestine. It would be Tyre and Sidon were part of Phoenicia. And in, you know, the coast of Palestine, that would be the land of the Philistines. And they were there. And, you know, God is saying in this verse that even if they would try to recompense the Lord, to repay him or compensate for the damage that they had already done, that he would turn it upon their own heads. He wouldn't accept it, in other words. And there are reasons. It says in verse 5, "Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things." Now, I'll tell you what, this is really something, to take things that were sacred, that had been dedicated to God, and offering it to their pagan deities. I'll tell you what, God does not look on that favorably, does he? Not by any means. You know, we know in the book of Daniel that, you know, Belshazzar there, oh yes, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, got into great trouble because he dared to take vessels that had been dedicated to God, that had been brought out of the land of Judea into Babylon, carried away. He brought them into that chamber where they were going to have that drunken feast. And, you know, he was making merry and offering, you know, whatever all to his gods. They are using the vessels that had been dedicated to God. I'll tell you what, God didn't like that, did he? Not at all, you know. There was that handwriting on the wall that appeared. Oh, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. And God judged them that night. But here are some others that had also taken things that had been dedicated to God for God's purpose, God's cause, and carried them away into their own pagan cultures, into their own pagan lands, and then offered them into their temples, carried them into their temples to offer to their gods. Oh, not good at all. I just wonder, in this world that we live in today, what have people done with things that have been dedicated to God? You know, times have changed in so many ways. The world has changed a lot since, you know, the day that I was a child. And it seems to me that God's word has been greatly perverted. You know, all these translations that have come into existence, and you know, it's really something. I was looking for a Bible this last weekend, and I didn't realize that the family bookstore in Madison had closed its doors, and I drove to it, and well, there was nothing there, you know. And I'm really, you know, I look at my GPS to see if, you know, maybe I could track it or something. Maybe they, you know, moved down the street or something, but there was no trace of them. So I decided, well, they didn't have a whole lot of King James Bibles anyway, but, you know, I thought that was the best thing I could do at the moment. But then I thought, well, I will try Barnes & Noble. And, you know, it's really something. You find everything in that place, but they had some Bibles. Very, very few King James Bibles. But it seemed like God had just kind of kept one for me. It was, you know, I'm looking for a Bible for my granddaughter, and here was one. It was a smaller size, but a very nice print and a pretty kind of teal blue cover on it, a soft leather type of thing. And you know, it was the only one like that, you know, little flowers along the side of the cover, and, you know, just kind of special. But, you know, it's not so easy to find King James Bibles anymore. And, you know, if you go to many other churches, you know, you might find that they're using another version of the Bible and, you know, thinking nothing of it. You know, sometimes, you know, the people will come with their Bibles and, you know, they might have, you know, six different, you know, possibilities there. But I'll tell you what, we need to look for the old path, wherein is a good way, and walk therein. And I'll tell you what, God's word cannot be changed, and God accept it. You know, people know not what they are doing so many times. You know, these wonderful hymns that we sing, so many of them have been changed. Sometimes they're jazzed up or whatever all, you know, to make them more acceptable in the society that we live in. You know, all the drums and all the other instrumentation sometimes that it doesn't do justice to those beautiful hymns that were written from hearts that, you know, had been surrendered to the Lord. But so many things have changed. How about old-fashioned worship where people could raise their hands and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Oh yes, holy hands lifted to the Lord. But so many things have been polluted in this world in which we live today, just as in old Israel here. Oh yes, wonderful, goodly, pleasant things of the Lord had been carried away and been offered in places where they had no right to be. So it wasn't good. God wasn't going to accept any recompenses that they might offer in order to appease an angry God. Now I'll tell you what, we don't want to meet God when he's angry. Not by any means. Because when his wrath is going to be poured out, there's going to be nothing like it at all. It's going to be the end of all things, and there's going to be no mercy at that moment. But thank God we can come to him now. We don't have to, you know, wait too long and very possibly miss out. But we can come today to God. Now is acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. And oh, I pray that, oh yes, there would be hearts that are in that valley of decision that will surrender their will to Almighty God. I pray that. In the name of Jesus, amen. But oh yes, as we continue here in Joel 3, it says in verse 6, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Oh yes, they had been taken away and sold. And God had allowed it too. But then he said in verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. He was going to reverse things. And instead, it tells us in verse 8, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. And here we see how God turns things around. Oh, yes. He only takes so much. And then there's that time when things are reversed. And here it was, those people that had at one point sold the children of Judah and of Jerusalem to the Greeks or the Grecians. God was going to reverse it. And they, instead, were going to have their sons and their daughters taken to a people that were far off, even the Sabaeans, which I believe were in southwestern Arabia. For the Lord has spoken it. Amen. And I'll tell you what, when God declares it, it's going to be that way. Amen. So then we get to verse 9 here in this chapter. And here, you know, I believe now we're turning solely to the end time scenario here. And I believe we're talking about the very end of this age, the end of time. Oh yes, the battle of Armageddon indeed. The end of the world and the judgment seat of Christ. So here it says in verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Okay, so here, and I believe when it refers to Gentiles in this context, that it's referring to heathen people. And of course, this is time of the Old Covenant that it was written. So, you know, we would apply it a little differently, having the knowledge that we have for, you know, the New Covenant. But here, you know, it was time. It was a serious matter that is being considered here. And, you know, the prophet is writing through the anointing of God to proclaim this among the Gentiles, to prepare war. It wasn't going to be a time of peace. And it was time to wake up the mighty man, the men of war. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Oh, there's a call. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I'll tell you what, if you want to just keep your hand in this chapter, let's go to Revelation 16 here for a moment. Oh, that call to war. And you know, I believe these verses correspond very well with many chapters here and verses in the book of Revelation. But if we look at Revelation 16 and look at verse 13 here, in this 16th chapter of Revelation, we have the vials being poured out. And here we're coming to the sixth angel has poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates in verse 12. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay, so, okay, they're getting ready for an event. And it tells us in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets, false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so, yes, here we see what is happening. God is allowing these spirits of devils to come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast and of the false prophet, all of this Antichrist beast system here, these unclean spirits manifesting. And how do they manifest? It appears that they manifest as working miracles in verse 14. And there is a point to it, because God is using this to gather the kings of the earth together to go forth unto battle. So here it is, again, verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And in the middle of this discussion here in verse 15, we have a warning. It says in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. God is talking. He's going to come quickly and unannounced. He's going to come as a thief in that sense. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Oh, I tell you what, oh, there is a great need. No matter what happens, we can't go along with mainstream. Oh, yes, that beast system is coming down upon us in this time period that we live in. We've got to be watchful. We've got to have on that garment of righteousness. We've got to be clothed in the Lord's righteousness. And we've got to be watchful. Oh, yes, otherwise we would be as those that walk naked, not clothed with that garment of righteousness. And, you know, it tells us very clearly in that 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 8, talking about the church of the living God, the Lamb's wife. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And I'll tell you what, we're not going to get to heaven with our own righteousness. No, we know it's like filthy rags in the sight of God. It's all this unclean thing. You know, it's not going to bring us our salvation. We can't do it of our own works. But praise the Lord, God made a way that we could come to Him and be clothed with His righteousness, have that blood applied to our hearts. Oh yes, so that we can be cleansed from those filthy garments. We can be cleansed from our sins, so that we can come before Him one day and stand before His presence and clothed in His righteousness. But here's this warning. I'm going to come quickly. I'm going to come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Oh yes, the scripture talks about the shame of thy nakedness. And again, we're going to stand before God one way or the other. Either clothed in his righteousness or clothed in our own filth and shame and nakedness. Okay, and then it tells us here these kings that have been gathered together here. It says in verse 16 here in the 16th chapter of Revelation, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. In other words, it is completed. And here it is, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Oh, I'll tell you what, that time of his recompense. Oh, when everything comes to his remembrance, and oh yes, his judgment comes forth. to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath as he pours out that cup that is filled to the brim and tumbling over with the iniquity of the sin of this old world. And it says, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Oh, I tell you what. And it tells us, this chapter ends, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Oh, I don't think we want to be, in the arms of the devil at this point when God begins to pour out his wrath. And oh, yes, I believe, as these chapters continue, I believe it explains how Babylon falls. And all that is brought to the light as God is judging this wicked, crooked world as the heathen are called together. Oh yes, it is God who's allowing it and enforcing it. So here, back in Joel, the third chapter, he's declared this time of war among the Gentiles, or as I said, the heathens, time to declare war, to wake up the mighty man. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Verse 11 says, assemble yourselves. Come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And I'll tell you what, oh yes, they think that they're going to fight against God and win. They have this kind of premonition that they think, oh my, that they can somehow fight against God and prevail. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to work. Because, oh yes, as they gather together in the valley of Jehoshaphat, as it calls it here, or what is considered Armageddon in Revelation, oh, God is going to come. He is going to come down. He is going to cause the mighty ones to come down. Then just keep your finger in this page. We're going to go to Revelation 17 here for a moment. Revelation 17. And here it says in Revelation 17, verse 12, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with a beast. And this is all being fulfilled here in these 16th chapter of Revelation, here in Joel, the third chapter. It's all this coming together, where these ten kings, these ten horns, receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, with the beast system. It all comes together. And it says in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. A complete turnover to this one world dictatorship, this one world government that they're talking about here. And this is their plan. They think they're going to fight against God. It says in verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. But praise the Lord. They think they're going to put it together. They've got all their scheming and all their planning. Yes, they've been following the blueprint that Albert Pike wrote under the inspiration of the devil those many years ago. They're following it word for word and piece by piece. But God is greater than all of that. And there is this time. Oh yes, they think they're going to fight against God. No, it tells us again that they will make war with the Lamb. But praise God, the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And it tells us in verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Oh, that religious whore. Oh, that consists of people and multitudes and nations and tongues. This controlling religious spirit that has dictated, oh yes, oh many a decree and many actions that have happened throughout these many centuries of time, that whore. But praise the Lord, things are going to come down. And it tells us, and the ten horns which thou sawest, this beast system which comes forth upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They're going to do away with that religious system when they're through with her. They'll let her work until, you know, she's done the dirty work that they desire it to do. But then, oh, they're going to turn and hate her and make her desolate and naked and destroy her, in other words. But God is the director. God is in control. It says in verse 17 here, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. He's going to allow it to happen until it's over, until it's his time. And it explains in verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Oh, I just wonder what the Roman Catholic system has to do with all of this. I just think it's, yes, it does have that influence and power over the kings of this earth. Yes, they bow to the Pope, don't they? Yeah, they kiss his ring. Oh, yes, they submit to him. And there's a lot of other things going on that are not broadcasted. So it's God who puts it in their heart. And there is no way that they can overcome him. For he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. Oh, praise the Lord. And he's got a people that have been called and chosen and are faithful. Praise the Lord. Going one more place in Revelation, the 19th chapter, and I believe it's talking about this same event, only describing it a little bit more here. We look at Revelation 19 and verse 11. Oh, John is seeing this vision. What it must have been like to see this. He writes in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ that came to this world that he might buy us back, that he might redeem us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord. His garment, his righteousness. And yes, here he is with his children coming forth to destroy the beast and the system. Oh yes, those that think that they're going to war against the Lamb of God. But here he comes. Oh, I tell you what, we better be on his side. He comes to judge and to make war. That's why he's coming. And that description, his eyes are as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be over one of these days. Oh, yes. The beast and the kings of the earth and their armies are going to be gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. It tells us in verse 19, and against his army. And it tells us the beast was taken. And with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Oh, I tell you what, it's not a pretty sight. You know, he calls even the fowls of the air to come and gather themselves for this great supper of the great king. And it's not a pretty description that they might eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on those horses, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's going to be over one of these days. Oh, yes, we better be in the Lord at these moments. We better be those that come with him on those white horses as he comes to avenge this world of their wickedness. So back in Joel, the third chapter, verse 12 again. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. And we've just read these descriptions from the book of Revelation. Then it tells us in verse 13, it says, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Oh, yes, that cup, oh, yes, of iniquity is so full. Oh, it's overwhelmed with the sin and the iniquity of this old world. The wickedness is so great. And it's time for God Almighty to put in the sickle. Oh, what happens when he puts in the sickle? Let's just go to a few places in case we have any doubts. And I know I've taught this before, so you all probably are pretty familiar with this. But looking at Mark, the fourth chapter, praise the Lord, Mark 4, a couple verses 28 and 29. Jesus is telling this parable, and it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So just simple language here, you know, that earth, it brings forth its fruit. You know, first the blade comes up, and then the ear, and then finally the fruit, the full corn in the ear, it tells us here. And when that fruit is brought forth, when it's ripened, when it's mature and developed, then he says immediately, the farmer puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. And of course, the Lord Jesus is comparing this to the end of the world. And again, we have, yes, it also described in Revelation chapter 14. And it tells us in the 14th verse of Revelation 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. One more verse here, going to James. Praise the Lord. James, the 5th chapter and verse 7. It tells us, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. And thank the Lord for it. You know, God is waiting until that harvest is complete, until all his remnant has come to the fold, and his children are all gathered together. And it tells us, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But praise the Lord, at that moment when it's complete, God's people are all brought in to the fold. He that sitteth on the cloud is going to bring forth that sickle, and this earth is going to be reaped. It is going to be over, and all these events that we've been reading here in the book of Joel and in Revelation, these chapters, these accounts, all tell us how the Lord is going to gather it all together. When it's over, it is over. And I know I've said this many times, you know, when that ark door was shut, it was shut, it was over. You know, Noah had preached to those people for those many long years, and no one had listened. There was no one who had come in except for the family of Noah. Only 8. And when that ark's door was shut, there was no coming in or going out. It was over. And so it is with the door of salvation. There is going to be that moment when the door of salvation will be shut, and the Lord will have gathered his people together, and there'll be no more opportunity to get right with God, to give your heart to the Lord, to turn your life over to God. It's going to happen, and it's going to come quickly. His reward is with him to give every man according as his deeds have been. You know, it's going to be over one of these days. Oh, he's going to put in the sickle, as it tells us here in that 3rd chapter of Joel. For the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Oh, there's not going to be another moment at that time. There's not going to be any more opportunity. And then it describes multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Oh, I tell you what, the day of the Lord is near. It is near. We don't know the time or the hour of his coming, but we can see the signs, and we can see what is happening on this old earth. And it tells us, the things that we can see, the things that we can perceive in our hearts, tell us that the Lord is coming soon. That gathering of his elect is going to be soon. One of these days, it's going to be over. And here we are. It talks about multitudes. Multitudes. Great groups of people. Multitudes. In the valley of decision, not knowing which way they're going to go, to the right or to the left, to serve God or to serve mammon. And here it is. Oh yes, it's going to be over one of these days. We're living in that time of great famine in the land. Oh, it's not the need for food necessarily, or the thirst of water, but that famine for the hearing of the word of God, as it tells us in Amos, the 8th chapter, that famine of the Word of God. Oh, people running to and fro and trying to find something. And I know God, in His great mercy, is the one that has called us and brought us here together and made us acceptable in His sight. I tell you what, and you know, I've talked to a lot of dear people, and thank God for those of you that have turned it all over to the Lord and seen the light. But I know there's many of you that, you know, God called you initially, and you know, you didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. You didn't know where to go or to whom to turn, really, except that, you know, you knew the Lord had done something in your heart, but, you know, there wasn't a great deal of understanding. Because, you know, there's something else that is needed. We look at the 10th chapter of Romans. There's a question that is asked. And I'll tell you what, in Romans, the 10th chapter, you know, Paul starts this chapter by saying in the first verse, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He had a tremendous burden for his own people. And then he says in verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And just thinking about this verse here, that seems to describe a lot of people today. They have a certain amount of zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, not according to the precepts in God's Word. You know, you hear all kinds of different things in pulpits these days. Oh, and you know, they might not even open up a Bible. If they do, it's probably another version in most cases. Oh, it is perverted. A lot of times it's just a social type of reasoning that, you know, they presented, or, you know, maybe some kind of entertainment. You might have their bands get on stage. Well, you know, if you've ever seen these stages in these churches, these huge stages with, you know, the lights and, you know, the drum sets and everything else, does that please the Lord? Is that true worship? Is that worshiping God in spirit and in truth? I say not. But that's what you find in this world today. People that have it, you know, some kind of zeal in their heart, but no knowledge, being led astray by false prophets and false preachers. People that really don't know the Lord themselves, but lead the people astray. But oh, what a need we have today, you know. This 10th chapter of Romans tells us in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Oh, what a need we have in this world. You know, Jesus saw the people. Oh, he described it. 9th chapter of Matthew. He saw the people in his day, you know. It says when he saw the multitudes, in the 9th chapter of Matthew, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There they were, just out there, you know, without a lot of knowledge, without a lot of understanding, without really knowing where to go in so many cases. He saw them. He had great compassion on them. They were fainting. They were scattered. They were as sheep without a shepherd. And it tells us in verse 37 in Matthew 9, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Oh, I'll tell you what, the need is great. As it asks, you know, in Romans the 10th chapter, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Without knowledge, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, they're from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. And then it explains in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And not only is it necessary to hear the gospel, but you got to believe the gospel and obey the gospel. And it explains in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? And many rejected Jesus Christ, didn't they? I mean, you know, there he was, doing those mighty miracles and wonders, casting out the devils, healing the blind, the lame, the sick, all those infirmities, preaching deliverance, but so often rejected. Oh yes, when he bore down on strong doctrine, oh, the people turned the other way. They left him, they forsook him, they even tried, oh yes, sometimes to kill him. Oh, how necessary it is not only to hear the gospel, but to obey the gospel. And it explains in verse 17 here in Romans 10, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, you know, it's so valuable to be here together, to open up God's word. I don't know what I would do if we didn't have these gatherings together, these times of feasting on God's word. You know, that's how our faith comes to us. It's by hearing the word of God, these words of eternal life that speak to our heart and, you know, get us out of our ruts and, you know, our unbelief and all the things that, you know, sometimes our minds conjure up and the battles that we fight and all this and that. Oh, we come here together, yes, to gain strength. Oh, yes, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to win those battles. Yes, to go from strength to strength. Oh, yes, we come here one way and we hope to leave in a stronger way, with more strength, with more faith, with more determination, with more of the Word of God deep down in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. But such a need, oh, yes, for the Word of God to be declared. Oh, to be taught, and you know, it's no wonder there in that 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, it tells us how Philip, he was returning and from, you know, Jerusalem, and you know, he was told at that point, or wherever he had been, at the Lord spake to him and told Philip that he needed to go down to the desert, down into Gaza. And, you know, thank God the Spirit spoke to his heart and he went. He arose and he went. And behold, you know, there was a man of Ethiopia that was coming from Jerusalem. He was coming back from Jerusalem and you know, he was heading back, I believe, to his hometown, Ethiopia. His home country, I guess we could say. But anyway, he arose and went to behold a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And, you know, so he was a Jewish proselyte in that sense. And, you know, so there was something in his heart. You know, he had a love, obviously, for the Lord, for God, for his word, for his ways, for what he knew. But he was returning from Jerusalem, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And praise the Lord, God had sent Philip to this man. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It tells us in verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And this is what the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Oh, praise the Lord. And there he was in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He's reading the place in the scripture, which read is, it tells us in verse 32, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" See, he needed somebody to explain God's word. And praise the Lord, Philip opened up his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, what a difference that made. Oh, yes, and I just can imagine, you know, they were going on their way there in that chariot. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Oh, yes, God had put it in his heart so that when he was shown the Word of God and it was explained to him, he could understand and believe and obey. And praise the Lord, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Praise the Lord, not only did he hear the word of God, but he obeyed the word of God. He was pricked in his heart, and he confessed in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh yes, Jesus said, "Except that you believe that I am he, ye shall all likewise perish." It is so necessary to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is a Messiah. He is God robed in flesh who came to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, I praise the Lord. What a wonderful time that must have been. You know, Philip baptized him in that water, and I always marvel because they're in the desert. And you know, obviously, it was enough water that he could be fully immersed in that water. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I just wouldn't doubt at all that he received the gift of the Holy Ghost at that point too. You know, and it tells us he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, God had answered the cry of his heart, that hunger that he had deep within, that need that he had for the living Savior. Oh, yes, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. But there are many that are caught in this place, this valley of decision, as is called in the third chapter of Joel. Oh, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And I'll tell you what, oh, this scenario that's being discussed here in this chapter is the end of the world. It tells us in verse 15, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." And praise the Lord, these descriptions that we read in the 17th and 19th chapter of Revelation, here it is being described in the 16th verse here of Joel, the third chapter. It tells us, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake." but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. There's going to be a catching away of the bride of Christ. Oh, how this is all going to happen simultaneously, or just, you know, bing, 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 one thing after the other. But all at once, there he's going to come, and he's going to bring back those, oh yes, that are with him, and the rest of us are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds, in the air to meet the Lord, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh yes, he's coming back for his people. And I love this description here in Joel 3rd chapter. He's going to roar out of Zion. Oh my, it's not going to be a quiet secret event. You know, it's going to be a roar. The trump of God is going to sound. You know, there's going to be no escaping this moment as our God comes to end this world, to bring about judgment, and to gather his people together. Oh, what a moment it's going to be. You know, there's a description of it in the 50th chapter of Psalms. Oh, and I like this. The first few verses of Psalms 50 describes it. It says in Psalms 50, verse 1, "The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." Out of Zion, and you know, we're referring to Zion both here in Joel and also in this 50th verse or 50th chapter of Psalms. We're talking about that Zion which is above. We're talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, the place where our God is. And it says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. He's going to come forth out of his habitation there in Zion. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Here it is again. You know, he said he's going to come with a roar there in Joel, the 3rd chapter. And here again, it says he shall not keep silence. Oh my, oh, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a large amount of manifestations. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. All that call, as he's gathering forth his people. And it says in verse 5, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself, Selah." Praise the Lord, there's that gathering together of the people of God. Oh, as he comes to this earth, oh yes, oh, there's going to be no way to ignore this event. Oh, there's going to be no escape from this event. You know, every eye is going to see him. Even those that crucified him, those that pierced his side, oh, yo, those that mocked him, those that scorned him, those that rejected him, they're all going to see him at that time. For yes, there's going to be a resurrection. Yes, you're either going to be in the Lord or you're going to be without hope. That gathering together of those that have lived in this world, that gathering together, and here it is, you know, as he comes to judge the people of this world. And yes, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. You know, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, the people that are looking for him, we might be in the midst of great trouble, great conflicts, all kinds of scenarios that we maybe can't even imagine. But here it is, as the Lord comes, oh yes, in the nick of time, to gather forth his people. He's going to be the hope of his elect, of his people, the strength of the children of Israel, those that have been brought together in Christ Jesus. It explains as this chapter ends here. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh yes, that city is coming down from God out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be nothing in that city that defiles, that's unholy, that's unclean. There's going to be nothing in it that has sin in it at all. It's going to be reserved for a people that are without blemish. A holy people that embraced the promises of God and accepted his salvation and have come to God in repentance and surrendering of the will. Yes, who obeyed the commandments of the Lord, were baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, nothing that's sinful or would be defiling at all. And it shall come to pass in that day, the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. And here I believe he's talking about his redeemed people, his spiritual Israel. Oh yes, those that have been bought with a price, and who have come to him in faith, in trust, in belief. Yes, honoring his word, and going forth to believe his promises. Oh, praise the Lord, that day is coming. And we know that there's going to be no room for excuses at that moment. As, you know, this all unravels, and you know, it all unfolds. We know if we turn to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, it tells us, it also describes these events. And we know that in spite of mockers and scoffers that might walk around and say, hey, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But it tells us here in this 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Oh, that world, you know, at the time of Noah, was perished. It perished by water. And then it tells us in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. And this time there's a reservation unto fire. It said, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as man counts, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, I tell you what, we don't want to be those in the valley of decision who have put off the need to get right with God. Oh, we don't want to be among those that perish. It says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, that's our heart's desire. Oh, yes, when this earth is brought to fire. Oh, yes, when the elements will melt. Oh, yes, all the earth and all the works that are therein are burnt up. Oh, we want to be in the bosom of our Heavenly Father. We want to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, praise the Lord, that day is coming. Oh, that day when he's going to roar out of Zion. Oh, yes, and he's going to utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake. But praise the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I pray. Oh, yes, if one would be in the valley of decision tonight. Oh, yes, that you quickly give your heart to the Lord. Oh, yes, that you quickly get right, that you would not procrastinate any longer. Oh, but you give it over to the Lord, that you surrender the will and your ways to God. Oh, yes, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that you draw us near unto thee, Lord, nigh unto thee. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that our hearts would be made right and that you'd give us that zeal, that we would go forth and do your will according to thy ways and thy knowledge and the things that are written in thy word. Oh, God, I pray that you prepare us. Oh, Lord, for you are getting your people ready. Oh, God, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but I pray that you would talk to us. Oh, God, that you'd move us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd give us, oh, Lord, the words that we need, Lord, the instruction, Lord, and the desires, the goal, the zeal, oh Lord, to go forth and do your will. Oh God, that we might be right, that we might be blameless. Oh God, without spot or wrinkle in thy sight, oh Lord, when you come to judge this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's time to get right. Time, oh yes, to give over our heart, our will, our emotions to Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we are going to open our hymnals one more time, number 195, and we're going to sing, We Shall See the King, number 195. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We
shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, "Well done," or "Go away"? My home is for the pure. The vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.